my friend Computer Ed on the other end of the line, Ed Kreisler. Ed, how are you this morning, pal?
I'm doing all right, Tom. How about you?
Good. But then on the other end, nobody's holding my personal information or business information in ransom. Hey, hey, Ed, what's the difference between malware and ransomware?
Well, malware is a very general term. It covers everything from viruses to spam bots. That's malware. Malware is the all-encompassing term.
So ransomware is a variety of malware then?
Right. Ransomware is a variety of malware. I think it's funny they use ransomware. You and I were actually talking about this specific kind of attack about 10 years ago. The term I used back then was extortionware. I think it's a more accurate description.
Right. We are going to hold your information. The people who have been victim to this have been doctor's offices, police departments, hospitals.
Right.
I mean, you can literally go down the list. Infrastructure. Disney. I mean, we're going to hold the Pirates. We're going to release the Pirates of the Caribbean movie 5 minutes and then 20-minute chunks until you give us what we want. Disney said yesterday we're not going to do it.
Right.
Now, when it comes to this particular... Is it called WannaCry?
WannaCry is one of, it's got like five names.
Right. Now, what is the threat here?
Well, the threat here is, well, it's not a threat. The fact here is you're going to lose your data. We are given the myth that if we pay the money to these people, they are going to unlock the data so we have access to it again. Well, any cop will tell you with ransoms, that almost never works. You pay the money, you never get what you actually do. Your best bet is to assume you've lost the data, because paid this money, you're almost never going to get your data back.
And it fuels, of course, future attacks as well.
Absolutely, because once they see they can get money, they keep going.
It's interesting because, Ed, you know, the amount of money that's estimated to have been made from this really large ransom pact of, what, 190 countries, 155, something
right.
like that. The fact is, they've made very little money, but that doesn't seem to stop them.
Well, it doesn't stop them because they can still make money. The last estimate I saw was just short of $60,000 is all they've made.
Right.
The problem we have is we... Not the consumers, but in North America, our law enforcement has allowed this to exist. This isn't a new form of attack. This attack has been around for quite some time. And I've been dealing with it for over a decade. Local law enforcement, even at the state level, didn't want to deal with it, despite the fact that at that time we could track down people because it was used through credit cards. It was easy to track down, but they never cared. They never went after it, because at that time it was always about the home user. It was almost never a big level attack like this.
Right. If I remember right, Ed, you contacted legislators, offered your help, and I think you even went to the AG's office, didn't you?
Yeah, I was. Lisa Madigan was in office at the time. I went to Lisa Madigan's office, and I had already tracked down the company that was holding the credit card. And was going to hand them the information, and they said there was no point because you could never follow up. How do you trace the money? That's how you do it.
Right.
Thanks to Bitcoin, that's gone.
Right.
These guys are going to be able to get their money and walk away.
It's interesting.
We have that aspect of it. Then we have the other aspect of it.
Yeah, and then
we have the NSA holding exploits.
Yes, this is where I wanted to talk about. Microsoft knew about this exploitable point for a very long time. They left the door open because the NSA was using it.
Well, yes and no. Microsoft didn't know. The NSA found the exploit and never let Microsoft know this backdoor existed.
Okay. All right, now here's the thing. Our smartphones are getting smarter all the time.
Oh, yeah.
When I've heard about this, where does it begin? Where does it end? Is there a product out there that say, look, I can go to Google Play Store and for $9.95, $11.99, I can buy this software. I can put it on my phone. I can put it on my PC. I can put it on my network. Is there a product like that?
Well, we would like to believe there is, but the honesty of it is there's not. There's no product that's going to guarantee protect you. We've got an infrastructure that's set up that is just not designed to protect people.
It's an open network.
Give you an example with computers. most people in our area and around the world have a router that's provided by their ISP. Now, the router is has a segment in it called a firewall. This is designed to protect you from outside attacks coming in and internal attacks getting out to other people. That's the principles, basic principles of a firewall. The problem we have is those firewalls are never set up correctly because the ISPs don't want to get them to be really secure because that complicates their tech support.
All right. Now, what happens? Like I say, precautionary measures in, duplicate your information, keep it in a hard drive that's sitting on a shelf that's not connected in. Is that the deal?
How long have you and I been preaching that? Backup, the backup, the backup.
Right. And a backup that's not accessed on the internet, that's a hard drive sitting on, back it up once a day, every 2 days, you put it on a shelf.
Well, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be disconnected from the computer. So one of the best backup systems for home users I recommend are small external USB hard drives. And the reason I suggest the small ones are they don't need an extra power source. It's a USB cable. You plug it in. You've got all your power and everything else there. It's a little bitty. It's about the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Right.
And it allows you to quickly back up. The reason I suggest that is this. The mistake people make is they leave these connected. They do the backup and then just leave it connected so that the next day when it backs up again, they don't have to connect it because that's too inconvenient.
What about your phone?
Your phone, you can actually use their online services to back up with.
That's what I do.
Yeah, AT&T provides services. There's a couple of different services through various malware programs that allow you to back up. But it's vital. You've got to get your data off the device and completely disconnected from you so that if something happens, you have the data.
All right, Ed, you talked about our years of experience together. You and I have watched this curve, right, and many other curves grow over the time that you and I have known each other. Now, we're getting close to, what, on the air, 15 years or so.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the future. We talked about this 10 years ago. It's reaching a new level, a more fevered pitch in our response to it. This is the future. New, what you and I would call standard operating procedures need to be developed. If you've got a business with essential information or other people's financial information, on the list goes. There's a reason why Russians are buying typewriters.
Exactly.
This is the new standard operating, you need to kind of incorporate this into your everyday thing where this is not a horrible task. It's just what you have to do. It's the cost of doing business.
Exactly. You need to hire someone to come in, set up your network correctly, properly configure your routers to provide you real defensive measures. You need that same person to regularly come in. And if you don't have an IT person, by the way, you need that person to regularly come in. Make sure systems are backed up. Make sure antivirus software is up to date. Make sure all the updates to the OS have been properly installed and in place. This has to be a regular basis as a businessman. Because if you don't do this, you risk everything you do being available to be stolen, attacked, destroyed at any time. This is the Wild West, the way the movies portrayed it, is what it is.
Right.
And we have to realize the responsibility to protect ourselves is on us.
All right. Now, Ed, I saw a bit yesterday afternoon that said, look, because, you know, a lot of my phone in particular likes to use other people's networks when it's using HD phone capabilities, right? So I saw yesterday somebody reporting that if you go on to a Wi-Fi network at another location and it's not secured properly, you can be a victim of this, even though you never clicked on a piece of attachment on an email or anything else. Just because you're on their network, you can pick up the bug.
Well, now that's the nature of this bug. This particular bug is what's called a worm. So how this bug works is this bug gets on a system and it begins encrypting the data. Now, the first thing it does, though, is look on the network to see if it can see another computer that hasn't been infected yet. If it has, it duplicates itself onto the other computer and then continues its work on the first machine while the second one repeats the process. We have to remember the internet is nothing but a huge network. We are on a huge network, just like in your home, only on an immensely bigger scale.
Right.
And so when you connect to somebody else's Wi-Fi, you connect to their network. I hate to use this analogy, but it's like the old adage we gave about AIDS. when you have sex with someone, you're having sex with someone that they had sex with 7 years ago.
Right.
As far as the disease is concerned. When it comes to infections on computers, when you connect to somebody else's network, you don't just connect your PC to their network. You're now connected to all their PCs. And any infections that their PCs have picked up, or any infections that somebody else's PC who connected to the network last week who might have transmitted in here picked up, there's always this increased exposure that takes place. Now, again, there are methods you're supposed to take to protect yourself. When you connect to a Wi-Fi network, you don't want to connect to the file sharing options. You want to limit your connection to just the internet options. And if they have correctly set up, in my home, I have a guest Wi-Fi. My guest Wi-Fi allows somebody in my home, like my kids are at the house and want to use the Wi-Fi for the internet, their devices can use the internet. Their devices cannot see a single other machine in the house.
Right. Ed, good advice, pal. I mean, really good advice. That's why I'm glad I called you.